that council.
I'm from San Francisco. I'm representing the mainland.
The way I got involved was I was Secretary of the Area Service Commission in San Francisco, and I was mailing out the area service notes, and I got obsessive and compulsive about it. And I lost control. And so I was getting mailing lists of 200 people, and they said, well, how's the newsletter coming along? And so they turned into a newsletter. Mm-hmm. And Dennis named it the mainline. And Bob hustled the first couple hundred dollars worth of subscriptions from people in Northern California. And it's just gone from there. The way I see the mainline is a newsletter for Northern, published by the Northern California Service Commission. But its purpose is to help addicts stay clean and sober, and to carry the message that to the addict alcoholist who suffers. So that what it has to do with the literature conference is that it's available to print and publish anything that the people on the literature committee want published or printed. It's like it's a tool for the people who are getting the book together, and that's how I see it. It's not happy people. Yeah.
Hi, Brenda.
I'm Sabrina, and I'm involved in the NA down here. If we have a room, the group starts. And I've heard a lot of new things about Wichita. I'm just really looking forward to coming down and hearing your ideas.
Remember some of the things that I was, it's hard to have a
visit by Pagina. Didn't make it just one day. Another time you here to be here.
Abby? Well, I particularly like being unique, and that wasn't always necessarily so, so that's a great start for me today. Just enjoy being me, enjoy being clean and sober, and all of a sudden, you have such a fantastic group of people to meet around. Sometimes they don't necessarily feel the same way, but that's their business. I enjoy being me, and one of the things that's helped me be me is share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now with people. And I got to NA by way of AA. Matter of fact, I got to NA by way of an AA social event rather than an actual meeting event. We went up to Holly Hall in Beverly Hills in Hollywood, and they had a dance after the speaker meeting. So we went up to the dance once a month. And I was standing there, being me. It's at that time, it's like alone and room full of people. And me. And that was a really great one for a while, but I couldn't stand even there, so I had to become one of us. So, but all of a sudden, the speaker meeting was over, and everybody said, well, let's all help move the chairs so we can get ready for the dance. So all that was going on, and all of a sudden, I saw this girl standing there. I'm not saying this is a program of attraction or other promotions. I couldn't budge, you know. I just saw her standing there. And I felt, you know, I want to run, but I can't move. And I'm just going to have to face this. So I just very cautiously approached her, just knowing that it's all over my own. And I said, I don't know if I said it or she said it or what, but sort of somehow we got the grace to introduce ourselves. And the discovery was that she was over to the AA Young People's Dance from an NA rehab place. And part of their therapy let them go and attend these dances once a month. And I said, oh yeah, where's that? And so I found they had open meetings on Tuesdays and on Sunday. Yes, I don't remember exactly. So that got me interested in NA. And I live way in Orange County, which meant when I casually asked a friend of mine, hey, will you take me to a meeting? They said, yeah. Afterwards, they'd say, I thought you meant like here in Orange County, because I'd get them to drive me all the way up to an NA meeting. Well, I guess it kind of suits for them too. And then I'd end up just hiking back. So I would just go to any length to get to that meeting. Not necessarily for that meeting, but just to see her. And she, at that time, was a person who was too smart for the program. I was told that she may have gone back to grids. That means a lot to me. It means a lot to me because people I really care for and love aren't necessarily staying clean and sober. And it's hard opening up to people and keeping the channel open and still watching them pull back out in the news. Still needing, in order to stay alive, to keep the channel open. So, hopefully, and I feel that, God willing, all the people I've met, you know, are just enjoying on schedule what they need in order for them to get what we've got today. So, she's clean and sober wherever she's at. And I've been, from that day till now, just fantastically enjoying NA. First of all, before this becomes a guest speaker, first of all, because I was frightened to have to deal with the reality of being an addict, and I didn't want to go to NA and talk to it. So I felt sheltered and stayed in AA and decided one program at a time. So I got to the point that, you know, I've just dealt with alcohol, I can deal with, and I just need to share with somebody about my work addictions. I need to share the complete picture with somebody, I'm going to die of those addictions. So I had to go to NA and start sharing about the total picture. And that's where I just began to just blossom into feeling really grateful about being alive and being part of the fellowship. Somehow, I'm not saying anything against AA because it's still a vital part of my recovery. And I'm saying that somehow in an AA meeting, I talked about alcohol, but there's a front of it. I mean, I'll say, okay, alcohol, and then there'll be a front of it, and I can't reveal myself to the place. And a lot of times, some people seem to say alcohol is okay, but we'll take diet pills and things like that, and they really get on my case if I mention other drugs. So here in NA, I found that I don't have a front up, and that's vital to my program. I can share honestly where I'm at right now with people that know without having to hear all this stuff and talking about it. So I'm vitally concerned about NA, and I feel that a book for me would be important in this sense, not like a rehashing of what AA's big book has to offer or all the spiritual books have to offer, but there's a part that says, as we trudge the road, or I prefer boogie the road to happy destiny, more is going to be revealed, you know? And I feel that in the 12-step recovery process that is divinely inspired, phases to guide back, that this is the part that's being revealed now. I feel that total abstinence from mood changing or mind-altering drugs is the phase of recovery we're at today. Alcohol is a drug, and now we're ready to take on the total picture. So for me, I feel that the book isn't a rehashing of anything that's come before. It's a statement of where we stand in sobriety today. Statement of, hey, here's our stories and we can present them, and here's what we did to the best of our ability by God's grace. So, in closing, I'd like to say that I feel that the book is a vital part of my sobriety, both taking it on, and while it's happening, and when it's finally written. Thank you.
I think it's be able to even come up with here is just a little
name for the NA book, you know, society's NA book. We might be able to have some kind of title that we could put on it. Well, you know, everybody knows the workshop. I mean, you've already looked at the application. The thing I want to make clear here is feel free to participate in any of the workshops as they're going on during the day. Feel free to get up and do whatever you want to do. You need to take a break on your own, then fine, do that. But we're having a regular scheduled break. So, try to work it where you'll feel comfortable with it. At the same time, put in what you can as far as getting these things put together. Because the real important business, this is going to be the start. Hopefully, that can we'll set the stage for everybody here, all over the United States. We get this thing rolling on the right start right now. Let me get that information going, and it's real important. So I want to let Bo give some of the past history and new comments on the need of the workshop. Thanks, Bo.
Nice going on the drug ad.
Well, as far as I can figure out, there hadn't been anything significant in recent years except for the NA tree, which is a remarkable result of a single member, well before its time. And, you know, the history of that is that he just came under all kinds of states of fire. You know, received the nasty letters he was and all that kind of thing. And it was serious. He grinned, so it looked bad, you know. But all he had really done was he loved the fellowship a lot. He kind of had an organizational type mind, and he said, well, we can do this and that and other thing. And he was writing it and got out of hand, you know. And suddenly it was like, you know, a pamphlet length. And it was, you know, kind of one obvious move after another, you know, just based more on that than anything. It certainly didn't exist. The surface structure outline did not exist at that time. He was just doing his best job. And, you know, and then the material that came before that, the information pamphlet, trusted comes to me, the information pamphlets and IPs, and I'm going to hold up those samples. There's one that says we made a decision. There was a Northern California pamphlet came out. The cream of that pamphlet wound up in the IP called We Made a Decision. And I used to think all the pamphlets were from the IPs were from the white booklet, but that's not so. A lot of them are. So who, what, when, how, why, that's directly out of the white pamphlet. Groups is out of the NA tree. Another Look is basically Jimmy Kay, one of our co-founders' story. I never found out who the other co-founder is, so if anybody ever finds out, please tell me. Because I really tried to make an issue out of paying attention for years, and I don't know. I guess I could ask Jimmy, but Jimmy, if not aware of it, is the probably the eldest statesman in Narcotics Anonymous. He's been around since 26 years ago. You know, he's attended many meetings where they was loaded and he was clean, and he stayed clean. So it was a good meeting. And you can imagine, if you think we're needed the literature and all that stuff, and service structure now, imagine what the 50s were like. don't imagine. You hurt So, I think Jimmy participated a lot in writing the white booklet, and he regards that as his primary shot at our literature. And Unfortunately, the unfortunate point that he won't write anymore, period. I mean, that's what I hear. We tricked him into writing something, period. And he held on to it yet enough. But we, I mean, have power. And, you know, so, you know, without going into any more particulars, there was some original material that was added to a little bit, most recently in terms of service structure manual called MA3, and then ZILF. And I think it might help some of the people here that are really new to this to imagine little old Bo Sewell's standing in a country church house in Marietta, Georgia, saying, "Yeah, I know, man, but they've got books on shit. They've got books on after dinner gardening. They don't have a book on our program." And they'd say something other, and I'd run that. And I just got so full of it that I, you know, brought a plane ticket and went to San Francisco in 77 for the Seventh World Convention. And I mean, I was really, you know, like low key and low profile and all that. And I would say things like, "Who's working on that book?" And they say, "Go see that one." And they say, "Go see that one." And so I met Greg Key out there. He's the one that wrote the NA3 and the chairman of the board of trustees for Narcotics Anonymous. And we just stuck like glue, man. I mean, we tried to contain ourselves and stay down, you know, on the floor. But he got heavy, so we went up to the room and he started pulling out. "Oh, here's the minutes from the first NA meeting. You know, here's a coffee cup from the first NA meeting."
Right.
I mean, yeah. "Here, you can have a copy of this one. Yeah, a copy of that one." And my little pal grew, you know, just a little heart thumping, you know. You know, and he says, "Well, look, when are you going back?" And I says, "Tomorrow." And he says, "Well, could you stay over, Dad, too? Come on down to Los Angeles. I'll put you up, take you some meat, and take you to World Service." I said, "Nah, I couldn't do that. I got to be back." So the next day we drove down to L.A. I mean, you know, the whole trip going out there, you know, like I was going to go, I made a reservation, I can't go. But the second cancel was on $1,100. Where'd you go? They found it. They refunded $150 worth of bounce check charges. So I'm going again down to, you know, I'm back home. So I was just canceling and uncanceling flights for about a week there. Turning a lot over there. And so I went on down and we talked a lot. And I did, you know, I became aware of the fact that any clean and sober member has something to offer to their literature. There's absolutely no structure. There's no clique. There's no person or part of the structure that would stand in the way of a good new piece of material, whether it's a pamphlet or the whole book. And that's an interesting thought. Because I got home and I had received some encouragement. They said basically, "Yes, we tried over the years. We sat down for 4 years to write the book. I mean, 4 times to write the book at different times. Nothing ever came out of it. You know, so we just waited to stay clean and sober." I felt, you know, like one thing I could do maybe, and I did get some encouragement to do this, was to write something like a raw manuscript. And so I came home and got me a bunch of paper. And when I got to 30 pages, I said, "This is not a joke." So I got a typewriter and typed over 30 pages. And got through, you know, potential first chapter. And then into the second chapter. And then I started checking the second chapter because then I'll repeat myself. Got that feeling, it ain't gonna happen. So by the third chapter, I was into the state of mind where I said, "Well, like, it ain't gonna mean nothing anyway. Don't think, why? You can always edit out the things you write, I mean, when people see a chapter after chapter seeing the same thing, maybe in slightly different terms, especially about the twin steps, is in the moment. So I just said, well, just push it on through. Nobody gives a fuck, you know? You ain't got nobody watching. So, you know, every Saturday they'd say, can you paint my sign Saturday? And I said, no, sir, I'd like to, but I'm working on this book. And they'll leave you alone. I mean, if you want to work on literature on Saturday, just say, I'm working on this book. And I don't know what it is, it unplugs them. So,
okay.
But they probably don't know anybody else that's working on the book, and they'll leave you alone. They won't even ask you which book. And so I just plunged ahead like that. I've prayed in, you know, like at least 1,000 prayers for guidance and the purity to do God's footwork in this matter. And I would make about 5 pages a day when I got to work in the full day, type of double space. And so I got to what was the end of that raw manuscript, which was 61 pages long, and we circulated some at home, and I was talking to Greg all the time, you know, and he was kind of encouraging me, so just keep on, you know, you get things. And so we met before the Houston Convention in New Orleans for about a week, and we made copies. And I'd also written about 40 pages on pamphlet material, because that's where I started. And I would just pick a topic off the top of my head and try to write about that topic in terms of what I would say at that point in my recovery or expect to hear at the NA meeting, the fellowship. You know? And that way, I was able to just, you know, like, I'm not a writer, I'm not trained for this, I'm just another struggling drug addict. Be loving tomorrow, but grace is better than me. I'm not grateful. And so I turned all that over to him and copies out of that. I made a deal with myself that if I ever really stopped working on it, that I'd just take anything that I'd accumulated at that point, turn it over to the world, because I'll get it. And that let me off the hook, because I could do it a day at a time. But about the most significant thing that I found out about that is that any member, you know, however strong or persevering or well-intended, or can only see a past slice of the whole. And I mean, any one of them, Jenny, Red Pierce, Bob Barrett, any damn member there is, I don't care if they've got 50 years. I'm going to say they get that and probably 50 years old. But there's one guy that's got 30, you've got it somewhere. They can only see a past life in whole. More importantly, they can only put down in writing a tiny part of what they know. So that's an even smaller past life in whole. So the problem then was, well, how can you get involved with other people? I tried to do some stuff locally, made copies of this little 61 pages particularly. Passed them out to people with really hot seat copies of the historical value. And they just let them out of the shells, man. You know, and I hope it rots there. And I love the people I gave it to, but I mean, that's not the deal. So. It's not the deal. That's like putting out a needle trick or something. You know? We need a book. So I struggled massively and tried writing some more. And then Tommy B, who turns out to be our World Service Conference chairman, is over at the clubhouse in Atlanta. And he got pretty active with that, built the club and let you in here. And he says, well, are you going to the World Service Conference? I says, no way. So he said, well, you might go, so why don't you make reservations? You do it 30 days in advance, and it pays a lot on the ticket. And you don't have to go, right? You just make a reservation. And I said, okay. So he made the reservation, and I wound up at the World Service Conference, and they nominated me literature chairman, and didn't nominate nobody else. Which I was going out there because I thought Greg was going to be the next literature conference chairman, and I was going to support that. So I found out about it in 5 minutes. Would you accept nomination? You know, kind of looked at Greg, you know, did a little eye contact, and kept him together or something. you know, he gave it this number. And I said, well, whatever, you know. And 5 minutes after the Navy chairman, we mentioned a literature conference in Wichita. I don't know where that came from, but that's pretty well how we got to today. I want to open this box in a minute, but before I do, I'm going to go across a little list of things that stand out in my mind. I think we'll have to go over this sort of thing repeatedly. I don't learn very well. You know, one of my qualifications is when I'm a drug addict, but I'm also a slow learner. And I need to hear it 5 or 6 times before it sticks. And one of the major... let me finish that first part a little bit. No member can see more than the pie slice in the hole. I really believe that's the basic premise. Therefore, we have to get many members, and God knows who, and God will lead those people to these meetings, these very critical meetings, and enable them to do the footwork. And we can't have a book, we can't have a financial case that is accepted in all areas, it's accepted in Canada, Australia, accepted on the East Coast, the West Coast, Northern and Southern California, and Texas, for God's sake, without having this fruit input from all areas. To the extent that it's our feeling that if 6 months, a year from now, we haven't received input from the Bay of the major areas, we will fly out there and find out why. You know, this basic text is coming along, and you're leaving yourself out. We want to know why. You just want us to light it? You have anything to offer? You got hundreds of recovering addicts in it. What's the point? You think your sons of bishops are doing different? We don't love them? No, we're not politicians and groups. We're not doing it for no money. You know, we just want to see our work come. Feel like we're part of fellowship, y'all be involved. And that, you know, like, that's really to get their input, but it's also so that no member, clean and sober, at the time the book comes out, can make a statement, well, they didn't ask me, you know, I might have had something to offer, but they just didn't give a fuck. Because I remembered that little church and what it felt like to be in Marietta saying somebody somewhere is working on our book. And they haven't even written us a letter. They don't give a fuck about us. You know? And I know what it feels like to say that in all sincerity. And I don't want any members living to be able to say that. That's a shitty feeling. You don't have to come across with nothing, but let's at least ask for God's sake. And one of the things we did was do a world mailing to take care of that. Wrote letters to every group in the world record in zip code registry. I don't know how we have a world record in zip code, but now we got copies. We mimeographed or we did a photocopy and passed it. But, so I basically been involved with it for 2 years. I talked to hundreds and hundreds of members and thought about it and worked on it. I'm very grateful for this conference. Okay, I want to mention a couple of Cliff and I have been talking outside the room about what to do. See, we can't really have workshops until we go through this process of talking it out, questions and answers, and let you guys know what's been done to date. No sense working in the workshop and spending, you know, like a day and a half planning something that's already happened. And there's literally no other way to key you all into that. So one thing in particular that ought to be worked on the workshop, and it ought to be discussed and felt about, and it ought to be a blank page today. And then tomorrow we should make a list of our list, our group consciousness list of proposed chapter titles, chapter headings, where we can send out to the literature committees in Venice, San Fernando, San Francisco, Omaha, Wichita, Pennsylvania, Atlanta. We need material list of this, that, and the other chapter heading, because that will focus the effort. And we collect the material related to a particular chapter heading and group it, and make it easier when we get to the composition stage. Also, campus titles. We've got a lot of campus titles anyway, but you may key in on something you can't see or think of. God uses an instrument. So if you can think of a topic that we need a pamphlet on that, or if you're a newcomer, then what is it that you need to know about if you haven't found in the literature? We suggest that for a pamphlet copy. And then we'll add it to our list and we'll collect material related to these pamphlet copies. Another thing is all the stuff I've written, see, I didn't really write it. All I did was write down what you told me at the meetings. I mean, I would carry a notebook and write down what you said at the meetings so I could remember until I got home. So I don't think there would be any individual copyrights on the material. It's what we have in Narcotics Anonymous. I really believe that our fellowship is between 7,000 and 10,000 today in membership worldwide. And what's keeping all those people clean and sober? I mean, is it all in that white book? Probably not. How about diabetes? I mean, hell, but it's not there. What it's in your heart. It's in your kids. It's in your experience, clean and sober. If you want to stay clean and sober, you get around somebody that's got some what? Time. Clean and sober. They succeeded in staying clean and sober 6 months, a year, 5 years or something. And then you get what they got. You go to any lengths to get it. Because they got it. It ain't written for them. You can use the big book for them. But you get their spoken tradition. You get what they've heard and they're able to repeat to you. Or what God sends to you through them. But it's in spoken form. We have a spoken literature. It's our literature, our book exists. That's why it says you are the book. You are the book. They can't get it without talking to you. There's no way for them to get our message without talking to a member. And all we got to do is write it down. Just what we say in the meetings. Because that's what works. Anyway, let me crack this case. One thing I found helpful is just to turn some of your defects, some of your tendencies for obsession and what have you into some very useful channels. And I got the tape thing habit. And I kept buying wire and cords and little plugs and stuff. That scrounges up these different recorders where I can now tape the meeting. I don't even think about it. It just happens. And Saturday night, the clubhouse, where our speakers meet, and I just, well, yeah, and I'll run in, flat wire, you know, and tape up the speakers, and there it goes. But what you get is this. Pick up any applications or whatnot. that's why these here take more than you need to pass them out. I've tried to get a little more systematic because I can't remember what I say on the telephone a lot of times. And so I keep a steno pad on it. My wife goes along with the deal and keeps a little phone memo by the phone. That helps. I'm getting behind on my work because we've got so much material coming in. We just had that conference convention. And I've got this many stories and committee applications to write acknowledgments and gratitude letters to. Including that, we've got this many committee applications. So I think we're at the beginning of a movement now. I don't think there's any question about that. I am getting group support in Atlanta. We've got a good secretary that organized the entire Muskie campaign state of Nebraska in 72. And hoping she can serve us well at the leadership committee. I brought a few copies of our own little newsletter, which,
well,
just take them.
On those committee applications and these flyers and that, is it okay for us to take one sheet from your draft or a copy off the one?
Well, anything is a short supply, but we got tons of all this stuff. And I mean, I just didn't have enough baggage to hold the rest of it. Serve as a base, but I grew a lot. Huh? Another thing is when I got back in May, I bought this poor box. Look at it. See the pop rivets coming out? And I woke up in the morning and said, go buy a quarterfowl and 50 manila folders. And that's exploding. I don't know whether these are good or not. The printer made a mistake and made us some World Literature Committee business cards. If you want some of them, we got them. But, I carry these and some other people carry them to meetings. You write down what you say and you think of, or you wake up in the middle of the night, can't sleep, and write it down, then you can sleep. And when you type up just a couple of these pages, you get like typewritten pages, a lot of them. And it gives God a chance to get into the works. Because you won't always think it through carefully. You just be in the habit of writing it down. And then it'll wind up in print, and then it'll be available to the literature committee. And I try not to judge my own work. I don't know what the part of what I write that I think is great, it's okay. The part that I think sucks, I better throw that away, you know? Maybe that's the best thing I get to write. Maybe that's the best thing you get to write. So don't judge your own work. Just write it. Turn it in. Let's let go. Literature committee style. I've kept a lot of notes and minutes and
copies of letters sent to people and stuff like that. It's pretty embryonic, but it helps if you're communicating with a particular person. The orientation sheet that maybe you've got a copy of by now is like that. I think it's in its sixth draft now, because I keep passing around and getting ideas and feedback. So it's not my work, it includes a lot of people. This is one literature committee thing. It's general in ways, but it's a program that's got introduced on behalf of Narcotics Anonymous. It has a lot of good points in here. One is this 11th commandment, thou shalt not bullshit thy friend. I think there's some stuff that needs to be discussed first. Okay. So I felt like, you know, just visually calling this out of the box, maybe say some more than just words would convey. I can't even believe all those tapes. It just happened.
Spoken tradition.
Yeah, that's right. What it is you take one of, you'll hear about transcripts hopefully in one of the workshops, because even though they're tedious and very hard, you get quite a yield. You get about 10 single-spaced pages. And you get a thing going where the unintended statement comes through. You know, a chance for God to get in the works. And because they're a drug addict and they're in recovery, but they haven't got anything to say. They like to help, but you test and tell a story. Now, that's a whole different take, man. You know? Well, gee, I don't know, maybe. It runs 90 minutes, you know. And if you tape it and you transcribe it, you know, the kids picked on me, you know, and even Brenda did. When I got home, my sisters did, my daddy. Me and him didn't get along at all. My mother, I was her pet. I followed her in the footsteps. The older I got, the more inferior I felt. And there's some beautiful stuff in there about in every cover, what it was like, what happened, what it's like, you know. It's the only way to get this kind of material. In other words, 10 pages times this many tapes. You know, talk about raw material. If you feel uninspired but want to do something, get you 20 hours and tape, set a board, and just do it. I've done these. These are hard as hell. I mean, if you want to hurt and get, you know, some free misery, I mean, you sort of feel good. There's some nice moments, too, but tapes are tough. I figure there's some self-destructive people here that want to get involved. You know, go dig on that. That, I'm speaking truth, to tapes are very hard. I just passed out about a dozen, and I've got, finally got one more wire, and I've got this cassette recorder, and I've got another one that doesn't really work. But it does work enough to plug it in and hot wire it to this one. I can duplicate the tapes, and they're both cut off with the jam up or at the end of the tape. So I just stick them in, mash your buttons, get it. I may hear the click, or maybe it works. When I get in from work, I just flip them, mash the buttons. So 2 minutes, I got, you know, the whole tape is duplicated. I can get 5 a day in my spare time that way. But it takes time for these things to come to pass, or at least it has in my case. That's another good point. If you don't understand that clearly, then it ought to be spoken to right now. We're not only writing the book, but we're also writing the book on how you write the book, because our book had never been written before. And what I do is I just try to see something that needs to be done and give it my best shot. And then if it worked, I say, great. And sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't, and when it does, I'm grateful, and when it doesn't, I don't care. Usually it works. I think if you get involved with this, you'll feel God working through you, and some things that you couldn't do will get done. Just by letting yourself be an instrument. A lot of it's kind of mechanical and technical. A lot of it's got a lot of heart and soul to it. You just have to, you know, work your own program, stay clean and sober, and do what you can a day at a time. That's another thing. There's nothing here that's been done. We've probably got over 200 pages, maybe 250 now. I think it's 110 pages or so. I haven't put all of them. Some of them in San Francisco tapes involved. Some Houston tapes, but I did duplicate all the Houston tapes. But I did all this a day at a time. I just didn't stop doing it. I never let myself get depressed because I hadn't done anything for a week or a month. I just come on the day and I felt like doing something else and just did it. And that's the thing. If you feel like doing it, just do it that day. And you ain't got to do it tomorrow. Just do it today. And, so there's a lot of programs working on literature. And we'll try to keep this box roughly open and share it. I want to set back so we get on with the show a little bit. But there's some mechanical things sort of that I want to mention because they boil down a lot of what our needs are and what some of our goals can be and what some of the things that can help are. Would you pack that one up, please? I can make duplicates of some of these tapes if anybody cares to have them either now or later on. And I got, you know, equipment here to do that. Okay, one thing is we can't really do this without good communications. And we've been, the best thing we've done so far is that world mailing. Because we mailed out, I suppose that probably everyone in this room has either seen one of these or seen it. It was written in December. Greg rewrote part of it. We had this one newcomer. Don't be afraid of newcomers' literature work. They got the steam, they got the energy.
Yeah. Right on.
You just let them have at it. And they'll do more damn footwork than the guy with 20 years. I don't know why. But I'm glad that I got involved with this 3 years clean and sober because I probably got too sober to get involved with it that way. And,
that's very sobering.
Yeah. If you haven't read this, read it. It's kind of part of our history. Do we have more of somebody else?
I do.
Yes.
Where are the rest of them? Like,
the insane? No, I just grabbed one here. I got to get
spooked down on these girls. Okay, well, that's fine. Christmas. Just pass them around a little bit. I thought there was more here.
So we can get more copies of this.
This is our world
machine at the place we're going here after.
This is our world mail. This is where all the stories that we've collected have come from. We mail that. We zip code the directory. A guy donated the typesetting. And today he has donated the printing. I don't know if we're supposed to pay for it. And envelopes, and we took up collection after collection. We get $10 and go buy $10 worth of stamps, and then get another $10 worth of stamps the next week or two, and mail some more out. And as long as we mail those out, the stories kept coming in. And so what we base our belief in a very critical area on is as long as you ask members specific, will you help me with this? They'll do it. And if you give them a blur, if you give them something they can't focus on, and then they won't do it. because they can't. But they will do what they can. So we have to make it kind of clear and specific, you know, what we ask people to do in terms of literature committee work. And all that letter does is it says that we exist. It's something to get involved with. We're soliciting material within the service structure in the 12 traditions in Narcotics Anonymous. So, boom, we get about 25 stories and lots of literature committee applications in. We want to keep an ongoing mailing where there's just, there's like every month or two a new mail out. Every group, we've got about 400 groups in our list because we have a lot of returns. But this keeps the average member informed like nothing else possibly could. Nothing else. It doesn't really cost that much. It's probably we'll get a world mailing under $100 before we're done. I think the first one cost about $150. But it was well worth it. That's where those stories came from. That's how we got to this study. And there's some typos in it. I think we put the World Service Office Literature Committee in one office and stuff like that. We sent out 100. We sent Narcotics Anonymous. It was real pretty. It was on the outside envelope. We got some really hysterical calls about this. You know, I was just sure they're going to throw me out of literature committee. They'd probably let me speak before, you know. I was tired. No one was working on me, you know. I figured I'd just keep going. I'd finally get home and it'd be all right. And probably that created interest. I think we got at least one literature committee out of it. So, yeah. So they can get in there and keep it straight, right? I haven't seen any material, I'll add. But we'll see. Yeah, I give them a benefit. We've got to get this material in. We've also got to get it out. We can get it in by doing a world mailing. We can get it out. Now, that's a whole different horse there. Okay. One thing, and I discussed this with Cliff last night, is we don't want to create the underground press effect where we've got 50 stories and 20 unapproved pamphlets circulating generally within the fellowship at large. I mean, it can reach a point where, well, what is NA? I read all that stuff and it doesn't agree with each other and it's, you know, just not together, you know, so that's bad. But how can we get new literature without it being circulated somehow? Well, we've got to do that. So a lot of these questions, when I really examine them, come back to one important thing that relates to recovery, and that is balance. We have to strike a balance between the two. We'll have to, in my opinion, what we ought to do in the immediate future is any literature committee, any registered literature committee ought to be able to get a copy of every bit of material that we have at the rate of a dime a copy, because we probably have less than 300 pages if we copied it all, good, bad, and indifferent, which is what I would want if I was, you know, getting involved in literature committee. And if there's 300 pages at a dime a copy, you're talking about $30. So $30 ain't that much for a serious literature committee to come together and put up. And we can just have duplicated for that. If we get duplicates for less, then we can refund the difference. But literature committees can have anything in the stockpile. Alright, it will all be stamped saying for literature, but Narcotics Anonymous, the World Service Conference, all that stuff, literature committee use only. That'll be on every copy because it's very important that all this material be kept within the fellowship. And as long as it only goes out to literature committees, then I'll trust the spirit of this fellowship to see if that's carried out. I think that would help a great deal.
Why is it so important that it stays within the fellowship?
Because we don't want it plagiarized and we don't want people, quote unquote, coming down out of my ship for having material that's not very good.
and we're talking about sending out raw, unedited, uncut material.
Also,
well, generally that's preserved. When we send out something, we put, you know, Jimmy H on it or Suzy Q. They really want to figure that out with us. That's not the big deal. Another thing is that it's like a meeting, you know, a closed NA meeting. Something. If you've got some goofy straight person there asking a bunch of hospital questions, or saying, "Well, I can smoke marijuana, you know,
I can drink beer."
It just kind of tears up the spiritual fabric of what's happening. And I think that's something similar happens in literature. It's just this literature committee material that ought to stay within literature committees. But every literature committee registered in the world should have all the material that they want to pay for. Because we paid for it. We paid for the world mailing. And that costs a lot more than it costs any literature. But how about all the new stuff? How about the stuff that comes in from literature committee in Pennsylvania? Well, you got one deal there. How do you know that what you heard is what I thought I was saying? You know, we take all the material that comes in from world mailings, and from which, if you stage them, if you mail out only like 75 or 100 a month, then you get a trickle, steady trickle coming in. Or you can just mail out some, you got some coming in. You can only respond to so many in a week. So you just mail out enough to keep it coming in. You're not getting much in, mail out more. It's you get in from literature committees, you get in maybe from miscellaneous sources, and you get in from the world mailings. Then put together a monthly package and send it out. We'll need support for that, by the way. Financial, that stuff, support to do a world mailing on an ongoing basis. It doesn't cost that much, but it does cost something. And that's one of the workshops that's going to be on finance. So we're not talking about nickels and dimes. We're talking about at least hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars. It's real easy if you approach it that way. It's crazy if you think about it in terms of nickels. But we also have some good ideas for that, how to raise money. We are holding advance in Atlanta to raise money. That's extremely basic. There's a lot of other things we've thought of since it's kind of passed. So we want to put together, we want to make the existing new material available. We need support from literature committees. For the world mailing, which if a world mailing costs $100 and we've got 10 literature committees in the world, $10 a piece, so we're not talking about much money there. The power figures that I quoted would come later on, and they would involve things that probably haven't even come into view yet. We want to take the material that comes in and then mail out a monthly packet of new material at cost to the literature committees. And that way everybody involved with literature movements playing with the same deck of cards. No member or no committee or area has got an upper hand on the other committees and areas. And nobody's in the dark. You know, nobody's waiting here for so-and-so, that such and such. That way the literature committees can as nearly as possible be autonomous, set goals, achievable goals for themselves, work towards those goals, and yet be aware of what else is happening. Some of the material is really poor in quality. Some of it is ready to go to press today. I think Bud there has read some of the new stuff. He knows what I'm talking about. Some of it's almost unprintable, but some of it you could just... Maybe there's a couple of typographical errors and misspellings, but it's ready to go to press today. I mean, like 5 or 6 pages long typed.
anyway, we want to distribute that packet but keep it within the fellowship. All right, it has recently come to my attention that we cannot have new literature at all right now. The reason is that there is no representative body within Narcotics Anonymous today who can sit down and say, you know, I like that pamphlet. Yeah, me too, Freddie. Let's pass it, you know, and say that's going to be new literature. We do have a board of trustees that can check material or traditions, but approval for new literature now, the board of trustees is passing the World Service Conference. Well, the World Service Conference is our service structure. The conference itself has some officers, different committees, what have you, but it represents delegates from each region and sometimes area. And every year the delegates come to a place within 25 miles of the World Service Office, which is present in Los Angeles, and they meet and discuss the NA business, what have you. There's also a lot of committee work that goes on during the year. But it's that one time a year when the delegates get together that you have an opportunity to get group consciousness fellowship wide to base. That is the World Service Conference. Out of the World Service Conference will come the system or whatever it's going to be to give conference approval to new literature. The notion right now seems a bit clumsy, but if we sent new literature that was ready for approval and finished as far as what we thought we could do with it to each delegate 3 to 6 months before a conference, then they can come to the conference and say what they approved and what they disapproved. That would be the only way. But the conference itself, I think, what was it, 50 or 75 that showed up last time? And I don't think Pennsylvania, which has got 43 meetings, showed even sent one delegate. And they're really strong in Pennsylvania. How they're strong. And they're warm, very warm in spirit, too. So, supporting the World Service Conference by attending that annual meeting and by implementing the service structure in your area, which means if you don't have a meeting, start one. If you don't have an ASD, start one. If you don't have a regional service committee, start one. I mean, if you don't have a meeting, start that. Let's implement the service structure. If you got meetings but you don't have an ASC, start one. Let's implement the service structure. If you got ASCs but you don't have a legal service committee, start one. And at that point, nothing left to do to go to the conference. But also, the area, like an area service committee, can send regional delegates. The chairman of the World Service Conference this year is a delegate from an area service committee. We have no regional service committee around. Okay, and something else Bud and I were talking about earlier is the World Service Office has its voice, and maybe the mainland can be the voice of the World Service Conference. Personally, I think that would tie in exactly. I mean, I don't really need to think about it a long time to discuss it. That's proper. That's good. They're already within the service structure because they are a committee, I think, of the Northern California regional or area service committee.
We're a subcommittee of the Northern California Regional Service Committee, so we're answerable to the Northern California Regional Service Committee, which keeps us within the traditions and away from self-governing matters.
Well, that lays the stage, though, for getting involved with the conference, because you want to serve the fellowship at large, and the conference is the way to do it. The reason this is important is that you can go to the World Convention, and they'll use the terms World Service Office and World Service Conference like they're the same things, and they're not. The conference represents the group consciousness, the whole fellowship. The office will subside, which has done all the work the conference is going to do, will subside into being a mailing address and functional unit. But right now, it's still sort of like the old heart of NA. You know, the old days, you had to call World Service Office to find out what was going on. More and more, that knowledge and all that will pass to the conference. But we have to, as a committee, we have to support the conference And the problems with distributing existing literature, the way we've handled it in Atlanta is the Air Service Committee put up $50 about 2.5 years ago. We placed an initial order. We sold the White Tempest to the groups at 50 cents a piece, the informational flyers for 10 cents a piece. And so we sold them for more than we paid for them, so we had some extra money. We kept a kitty. The second order was $16. The third order was $78. The fourth order was $140. The last order was $200. And inventoried our stock, what we could sell, what we got for now, is $550. Okay, and what's the difference at World Service Office, which they have a big literature distribution problem there, what's the difference between sending out 200 $10 orders and sending out one $200 order? I mean, which would you rather do? And they've been sending out the $10 orders, and that's the problem. And when the stockpile in our area reaches a certain point, we'll do it with, well, we're already within traditions and structure and all that anyway. That money becomes available to the Literature Committee, period. At March. And that, when somebody, one of our committee members pitched that on me, I said, well, wait a minute, you got to check with so-and-so. No, you don't. You're the Literature Committee, right? Do it. But we're the only ones in the fellowship worldwide that I know of that are doing that. Starting with the initial sums and making it available to anybody who wants to order it, 50 cents a white template, 9 for 9 feet, taking the difference and increasing the stockpile where you can place within, sales supporting basket, I think. It just feels maybe our next order will be $300, and one after that, $500 worth of material. And we're getting our own price list and all that printed up. That's another thing. Narcotics Anonymous is growing printing presses. There's a printing press in Pennsylvania. We have presses in Atlanta, presses in San Francisco, presses in Los Angeles. They're one way or another printing stuff involved in Narcotics Anonymous. And that's significant. See, what's happening now, this is 1937 for NA. What's happening now could have happened before now, it's happening now. All we got to do is be brave and do what we can do and don't worry about the rest. If I personally or the Atlanta Literature Committee enjoys any special advantage as to new information, what have you, we want to disrupt that immediately. We won't. And that's why we're here. That's why we scheduled this conference, where each literature committee has about the same view of what's happening, the same opportunity for input or, a calculated statement. That must happen somehow. Anyway, that's about all I've got right now, except that in the course of the rest of the time I get to be here, and also after I'm home, I do answer the phone and letters, and I know many of you are going to think of questions, a week from now and say, why didn't I ask so-and-so? Well, just ask it then, if that's the case. Otherwise, I'll try to get involved in one of these workshops, because beyond the orientation sheet, and the letter to new literature committee members, which I hope everybody reads, because that's exactly what worked for me and a lot of others. There is no plan. The orientation sheet is our plan. This conference can extend that plan. This conference can work on how to get up money to where we can do the world mailings. I think the needs are simple now, but we need to go ahead and look at it in maybe slightly larger terms. And work on finance, work on the paper machinery to take in, process, review. See, let's say you wrote an article. Okay, let's say I took your article and I rewrote some of it with your name on it. Or it was your article and I took your name off of it. Okay, you get the idea? So especially with members of our fellowship and spirit, we want your story to be in your hands. All right. First step is you write your story and send it in. Second step is we get a literature committee member in close to your area as possible, like even if it's 200 miles, it's better than 2,000, to make personal contact with you, call you up, try to get in touch personally. Because you're out there in the fellowship, theoretically, and you don't know nothing. You just got this letter and sent in the story. So that you actually do the editing, and the literature committee member helps you. They're your dictionary, they're your composition manual, you know, help with sentence structure. But it's still your story, and when it comes out in the book, you say, yep, that's my story. You know in your heart that's your story. And we don't want to take that away from our members. And any other way of handling it would sort. And that would defeat our purpose. And well, anyway, I can't think. I'll probably start repeating myself.
Question?
Yes?
Do you have any orientation sheet here? When someone asks, what's the literature committee? What's the literature committee do? I just let them know that we need to gather literature right now or gather what we can.
Well, like the orientation sheet says, we're, as near as we can see, we've got to have some material before we can create a working manuscript to review fellowship-wide. So, to collect the material, we're trying to start the literature committee to compile the material. I think we ought to have about 1,500 to 2,000 pages, call another conference, and whoever hosts the conference, ask if they get a big table. Well, maybe the floor and spread out all this material, because composition and arrangement of that material into a single stack of paper is just going to be really tough. And that's the nut. When you crack that one, you're down to a slide, it gets easy to bring on. That'll be the big deal. This is still the beginning.
So right now, literature is trying to gather as much material as possible.
Yes, without judging it or qualifying it or say this is or this isn't, just gather it, collect it, turn it in, keep copies.
And the way it acts with writing it, any kind of literature as far as the person's own story or their how they recovered by using steps or a poem, even giving a just a story of what they think drugs did to them or something like that. I mean, any little thing, a little phrase of, you know, all these things that this individual had, we think of our own phrases. Any little piece of which, not one of them. I'm wondering about, I've heard that there's some 6 chapters or something. Yeah, I've heard that they all, this is when people at the conference.
Well, what I did was I just thought about the 12 steps and wrote up a word as a possible chapter heading for each one of the 12 steps, and then I used that as a rough outline and just landed on that topic until I was done with the next chapter, and that was it.
Well, this is what I meant, though, is this, these chapters I heard it was already out, you know, when it was sent in, like the other one, like 10 degrees in circulation. Is that the ones that you put together? Or these chapters that some have just been acquired over the years? But
I know nothing. Well, track it down, try to find it. We appreciate it. Well, hopefully, that's part of our plan here, is to present this need to y'all as a group and let y'all discuss among yourselves what the list of chapter titles should be, and then tomorrow finalize that list.
for the immediate future where we can set some future goals for ourselves.
Okay, so right now everybody in this room as a group, we need to think about possible chapter headings and potential topics so we can get up to this.
That's right. That way the future of what we do will be rooted in the root consciousness of this fellowship. The right people, the key people in the United States right here in this room, in the world. And Australians and Canadians and Europeans would have made it if they could. Probably they're here too in spirit. It's got done. Go to the airport, stick your phone out, right out of the ticket counter. That's another story.
Any more questions? Bo at this time? You know, like you say, when you think of these questions after you leave here, write them down. I know if I don't write them down, then I forget to go. Okay.
Well, I've got two. One is 436-0923. I will be moving soon, so that might change. The other is 4-272-086. They both on the.
Can you give us a second one again? On the first one again?
Let's see. They might be on that. The first was on the committee application. 436-0953.
Both of them are on one, that long sheet.
And 4-272-086.
And I've got a little answer machine on the 427 number, so you can call it and leave a message. Okay.
Any more questions?
I need a definitive answer right now. When I break for lunch, I'm just enjoying lunch, right?
Well, that's up to you.
Yeah, really. That's right. And then what am I doing when I get back from lunch?
We're going to present. We're going to move to that other place. And we're going to go to Mulliner's Trust, Baldwin Park Lane, South Oliver. And what I'm thinking might be a good thing is for us to try to get together and drive down there together. Get where everybody knows.